Okay, welcome everyone to our first phone panel discussion for the Excellence in Public Philanthropic Partnerships Exchange. First, I'll just provide a little bit of background about the exchange. So it's a community of practice that brings together the previous winners of HUD's Secretary's Awards. These awards, as most of you know, are a partnership between the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and the Council on Foundations. Since 2012, 10 foundations and their public sector partners have been honored annually. This innovative group of funders and government partners represents a diverse pool of perspectives, interests, and experiences. Throughout the years since the inception of the awards, winning initiatives have impacted diverse fields such as housing, community development, economic development, health, safety, education, workforce development, and disaster resilience. Initiatives have taken place in various settings from urban to rural across the United States. To better tap into this expertise and create new opportunities for learning among the foundations and public partners, HUD and the Council on Foundations launched the Excellence in Public Philanthropic Partnerships Exchange, a bit of a mouthful. As I mentioned, the exchange is a community of practice that will support and improve public philanthropic partnerships by creating a space for foundation and government representatives with a proven track record for innovative collaboration to exchange ideas, information, lessons learned, research tools, and other resources. As part of the exchange, today we are hosting our first peer engagement opportunity. And the goal here is it will allow members to learn from their peers about topics selected by those members. So today, our first peer engagement opportunity, I'm delighted to have with us three representatives from last year's winning project in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. On the call today, we have Denise Spencer, who is the president and CEO of the Community Foundation of the Lowcountry. We also are joined by Mayor David Bennett, who is the mayor of Hilton Head Island. And we have Pete Nardi on the phone, who is the general manager of the Hilton Head Public Service District. The project we're discussing today is called Project SAFE, which stands for Sewer Access for Everyone. It is a public philanthropic partnership to provide connections from home to sewer for low to moderate income property owners. But before we talk about the project, let's start with quick introductions from our panelists. So would you three mind introducing yourselves to us all and giving us a brief background about your work at your respective organizations? Let's start with Denise, please.
Hello, everyone. I have been in the community foundation field for almost 25 years, but the last 12 of those here at the Community Foundation of the Lowcountry in Hilton Head Island. I am a long-time participant in the nonprofit sector, and but have also served on public boards, have been on a public school board for a dozen years, have been on a public planning commission, and recently for the town of Hilton Head have served on the Vision Project Management Team group looking at creating a new vision for long-term vision for the town and island of Hilton Head. I've been grateful to be involved in this particular project, Project SAFE, because it has been a long-needed project, and I look forward to having my colleagues share their roles in this project as well.
Fantastic. Thanks, Denise. Next, let's hear from Mayor David Bennett.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to be on the call today with our partners, Pete Nardi from Hilton Head PSD and Denise Spencer from the Community Foundation of the Lowcountry. By way of background, I have been the mayor of Hilton Head Island since my election in November of 2014. That was my very first foray into politics, so to speak. Prior to that, my partners and I were active in affordable housing development for the last 20, 25 years, developing affordable rental housing throughout the country.
Wonderful. Thanks, Mayor. It's great to have you on the call. And then finally, we have Pete Nardi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pete Nardi. I'm the general manager of Hilton Head Public Service District. The PSD is municipal tap water, sewer, wastewater treatment, and recycled water utility. We treat municipal wastewater and we recycle it here on the island, kind of unique. I've been with the utility for 14 years. This is my fourth as the general manager of it. Been on the island about 18 years. I'm a little different as utility manager in that I'm not an engineer. My background is in journalism and in public affairs work for local government and county government.
Thanks, Pete. So I have a few questions for our panelists, and then I'll turn it over to everyone on the phone, and I welcome you guys to ask questions to learn more about this project. But I'd like to start with Mayor Bennett. Mayor, could you describe the challenge your community is facing that this project addresses? So in other words, could you lay out some of the context in the community that led you to this partnership?
Sure, Matt. If I may, let me answer that question by offering a little bit of history on Hilton Head Island. There's a group of people that are known as the Gullah. They are, in essence, descendants of slaves that essentially ran the plantations throughout the Southeast from Florida up through probably the Charleston, Myrtle Beach area. And indeed, that corridor is identified by our federal government as the Gullah Geechee Corridor. Back during the Civil War, General Orange B. Mitchell had a real heart for the former slaves who were set free when their plantation owners abandoned Hilton Head when the North took over Hilton Head Island and other parts of Southeast South Carolina. And so he, in essence, granted that group of people a plot of land, and they formed the first freedman's town in America. It's known as Mitchellville. And from that point back in 1862, the Gullah, which we often in Hilton Head Island refer to as Native Islanders, flourished. They were predominantly a agricultural and fishing-based community. Lived here from the 1860s up until the 1960s, predominantly occupying the island. I would say that they constituted about 99% of the population. And in the late 50s, early 60s, they, in essence, handled their sanitary waste via septic systems. And that worked fine because of the island's sparse population at that point. But as Charles Frazier's vision took hold in the late 60s and 1970s and the island became built out, those septic systems no longer functioned adequately. The soils were overburdened due to, in part, the high water table that is present in the area. And that problem persisted for decades. Indeed, our town had identified it as a top priority back in 2004, but although it was called a top priority, I don't know that the spending accurately reflected that. So in 2015, our town council called a partnership meeting basically with the Hilton Head PSD and created and put forth a 5-year master plan to provide the necessary sanitary sewer infrastructure throughout the island. Most of the areas that did not have that sewer infrastructure were lower income areas and areas that were predominantly occupied by Native Islanders or the Gullah. Our issue became number one, if the town put forth the funding for the sewer infrastructure, how do we get from that point to actually getting households, some of which are on with limited resources, hooked up to the sewer? And that's where the Community Foundation's role via Project SAVE came into play. And in essence, we formed a three-legged stool partnership where the town was principally responsible for the majority of the funding for the initiative. Pete Nardi and the Hilton Head PSD were responsible for a lot of the design, the actual implementation and overseeing of the construction, creating, actually providing some funding themselves for lift stations, and then the Community Foundation stepped in and agreed to raise funding to provide funds for families that could not otherwise afford those connection costs, and to provide that funding for them, as well as handle the marketing, the PR that would be necessary in order to gain awareness of the initiative by the broader community. And so that three-legged partnership, so to speak, has been in effect for about 2.5 years now, and we've made very substantial progress, which I'm sure we'll discuss as the call goes on. But that's my background introduction to the project.
Thanks. That's really helpful to understand the history of the island and then hear a little bit about, as you said, the three-legged stool of how the three partners came together. I'm going to turn to Pete and ask him to maybe flesh out a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of the project, so to speak. Pete, as our sort of technical expert on the line, could you talk a little bit more in detail about what the project actually does?
Yeah, so what this really is a sanitary sewer extension project. You're talking about what's called sanitary sewer, so it's wastewater that's generated inside of homes, not stormwater. The town and it went, looked back, said, okay, these are the project areas we want to tackle. These are areas that predate modern development standards, didn't have an opportunity to get on sewer in the past, would have had all been driven by, you know, groups of owners. So they picked those roads. It's over 60 different streets, and we are installing sanitary sewer service. So that is, you know, gravity sewer, PVC lines going in the ground, collector main up a side street, coming out to a larger force main in a larger street. To do that, to accommodate all of that sewer, and that's really what the town is funding. The town is funding the local collector mains on the streets. To accommodate all those new mains, we unfortunately here on the island we don't have the advantage of topography to move wastewater around. So you can't build it from, you know, steep to shallow. It all has to get pumped. The island's flat. So we operate what are called sewer lift stations, where the wastewater from the homes going into a collector main, that's going to a force main. Force main leads to a lift station, basically a large wet well in the ground, a concrete wet well in the ground with pumps in it, and then that's pumping out back to the central wastewater treatment plant. Pretty standard, you know, municipal sewer system. Part of this, we also use a technique called low pressure sewer, which is putting a small diameter sewer line available to the property, and then you connect that to a grinder unit on the property. All of that is owned and maintained by the utility, and just sort of a different technique based on the what you have existing in the field to reach the properties. That's all the backbone infrastructure, if you will. And then what comes next is, okay, you've put the main in the street. Now you got to connect the houses. And that's where Project SAFE and the foundation have come into play, they're covering that homeowner connection cost that's involved once the sewer becomes available to you. Typical way sewer would get installed is that the owners receiving it would all bear a pro rata share of the construction of the main, and then they'd bear their connection cost. Here you have the town stepping in to cover the connection, the main cost, and then where you have low, moderate income homeowners, the foundation and Project Safe is stepping in to cover their connection costs. That makes the utility system whole. That way you can do these projects without having to achieve them by raising everyone's water and sewer rates in order to do it. You're doing it the way that it would typically happen, in that the new customer coming on bears the cost of their coming on to the system. And that's a typical North American approach to utility extensions. The town stuff is about $10 million. We are about halfway through it, both from a construction standpoint and a funding standpoint. The PSD, like the mayor alluded to, the PSD had to construct two regional sewer lift stations. That came at a cost of about $1.5 million to the utility. We funded that through a low-interest state revolving fund loan, clean water revolving fund loan. That's federal money that trickles down to the states. And then, as I said, SAFE is stepping in and making the connections happen.
Great. Thanks, Pete. I think that was really helpful to visualize exactly what we're talking about here and understand the details behind it. So, Denise, I have not forgotten about you, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what, from the philanthropic perspective, was the foundation's role in this work. I know we heard from your partners about the financial aspects, which is good to hear, and I'm wondering also if you can talk about the other resources or skills that you brought to the table in terms of, you know, perhaps capacity building, convening, project management, kind of the softer skills that often foundations bring to the table.
Sure, I'm happy to. The Community Foundation has actually been involved with Project SAFE since about the year 2000. So this more recent partnership among the town and the PSD and the Community Foundation that came following the sewer summit, if you will, that the town and the PSD had to say, let's really put some teeth behind getting this done. We really had been engaged since 2000 when there was an early group of citizens who wanted to bring this issue to the fore, started a fund to help raise matching money for some block grant money that they got. So there have been fits and starts over the years to get some of this work done, to provide money for low-income folks to connect to sewer at various times in our history. And in fact, the Public Service District has a Bucks for a Better Island program, essentially a roundup program, so that customers of the Public Service District have been making contributions through the years that are small contributions that the Public Service District has actually given to that fund at the Community Foundation, so that when connections are made and people are vetted for low-income opportunities like a grant for SAFE, that can happen, and there's been some money for that. But with this renewed interest by the mayor and town council in getting this long-standing issue handled, the Community Foundation had a strategy, a recent strategic plan that basically said, we're going to look for an initiative where we can make a significant impact on the local community. And when the mayor announced that this was going to be truly a town priority, the Community Foundation approached him about, can we put our heads together about getting this entire piece done? Because it really doesn't do the town and the Public Service District any good to lay sewer lines that low-income folks cannot afford to hook up to. And it doesn't do the Community Foundation any good to raise a significant amount of money for potential hookups if there's no hope that the lines will be laid in a short term. So the the timing was right for the perfect storm, if you will, of all of us to come together. The average cost in 2016 of the connections from home to sewer were $6,700. And for a household, that is well beyond the means of people in poverty to be able to afford. So we anticipate, based on the best knowledge that we can put together, that this five-year project that we're 2.5 years into would be $3 million in just the hookup fees from home to sewer for low-income households. And so the Community Foundation embarked upon a fundraising plan, a fundraising drive, which is not something that in our community's history we have done very much. A lot of community foundations do. That has not been our traditional role. But we took this on knowing how important and longstanding the need has been. And this project in psych, it really captured everyone's imaginations and hearts because it is a public health issue. It is and has been a longstanding public health issue. People should not have to worry about sewage backing up into their homes or into their yards where children play. There should not be, in this day and age, on Hilton Head Island, a health issue of that nature. It's an environmental issue. We have a lot of sensitive landscapes. We have a economy built on tourism, on seafood, on shellfish, on oysters, on shrimp. We certainly don't need the environmental problems that this issue, as our population here continues to grow, can cause. And it is a social justice issue. We have some of our most interesting and amazing people with a huge impact culturally on the area, people who have huge history here, who predated the rest of us arriving, and who should be provided basic facilities. So we've been excited to be involved, and we have to date, we're, as we said, halfway through the five-year project at about 2.5 years, and we have raised $2 of the $3 million. So we're well on our way to completing this project, and we will do so.
That's fantastic, Denise. Just a quick reminder to those on the phone that if you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute so we don't have any background noise. And Denise, if I could follow up, two things, you know, you said a lot there that I really like, but two things that stuck out to me is pointing out how important political will was. You said that the mayor made this a priority, and that was sort of the signal or the green light for everyone else to come together on this in a more coordinated way. And the other thing you mentioned that I was wondering if you can comment on further is this idea that of mutual accountability in a partnership where you guys are working together in a way that I think you said something along the lines of you weren't raising money for a pipe that would never be there to connect to in the first place. So can you talk a little bit more about the value of mutual accountability in partnerships like this?
Yes, this is a particularly interesting partnership because truly we each have very distinct roles. Some partnerships have really overlapping roles that need to be coordinated and that sort of thing. We have very distinct roles in this project. But we come together, representatives from our organizations come together every other month and meet and talk about where we are. And if there are questions in the meantime, we all feel comfortable to pick up the phone. The issue is that a town council will approve a budget every year, but they don't approve 5 years worth of budgets all at one time. So we have to assure that this remains a priority on town council. We have to assure similarly that the Community Foundation, which has changing boards over time and changing priorities over time, truly does not give up on this very important but difficult fundraising project. So a lot of this is gathering ourselves together and looking each other in the face and saying, we're still in it, are you? You're still in it. We really do need to have the will politically to hold each other accountable. And certainly all of the three of us, our hearts are very much in this project. I have often joked about sewage being in the bucket at the top of my bucket list. But without this continued commitment and continued respect and continued updates of where we are and what's happening and continued forward movement, it would be easy for this to fall by the way of other priorities that lose steam. And it's like anything else. You need continued forward movement and continued collaborative will in order to make the project move forward. And it is.
Right. I think that's great advice. I don't know if David and Pete have anything to add in terms of this comment about continued collaboration and continued communication and how important that is.
Well, obviously, communication is tantamount and paramount in any partnership. I think the important thing, and I think the thing that drives, I don't want to speak for Pete and Denise, but what I think drives each of us is that at its essence, this initiative is about people. It's people in your community that, you know, what we would characterize as fellow islanders that were having a problem. Problems meaning sewage backing up in their home, sewage backing up out of their septic tanks, people making decisions about whether or not they're going to take a shower or wash their clothes based on a weather forecast. And we all, I think, conclude that that issue needed to be corrected. And when we've got the problem stamped out, we will be done. Until then, as Denise indicated, we meet every other month to ensure that accountability remains intact. But I can't say enough about our partners in fulfilling their roles. You know, they help create that political accountability to ensure that the funding continues to be appropriated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great to hear. So question for Pete. I know that we probably have a mixture of people on the phone, some who might be doing very similar work and some who might be looking to glean best practices but for a very different project than what they're doing. But first I want to kind of focus in on this specific project, and then we'll talk more about how we can maybe generalize some of these best practices for a variety of different partnerships. So this question's for Pete. And Pete, do you have any advice or commentary for other communities who are facing similar problems with their sewer infrastructure? Where should they begin? Or what's worked best for you guys?
Well, I mean, the really unique thing about this project and the partnership, and I guess where it serves as a possible example for other communities is, you know, if you had come to the utility and said, hey, how are you guys going to put sewer down this street? Well, the utility had a program for that. You know, well, we get with the owners and we give them a cost estimate, and we install the line, and we assess them over 20 years, and they're hooked on. And in a lot of cases, that works just fine. You know, that's a utility having to extend service into something that's already built out, you know, an already built environment, already built neighborhood that didn't have the service. You know, so you're not talking about something that a developer goes and does, and he installs water, and he installs sewer, and the utility owns it thereafter. This is, hey, these are already your customers, but they're only partially your customer. They only have your water. They don't have your sewer. And what's unique is that utility program of, well, we're going to come and here's your estimate, here's your prorated cost, et cetera. It doesn't work so hot in areas where you're dealing with low and moderate income property owners. You know, they own property in a valuable area, but they do not have an income that enables them to make that decision. And so what was so powerful here was the town government saying, this is a municipal issue. This, you know, making sure that someone's human waste isn't pooling in their yard because they have a failing septic system, that's a municipal issue. And so the town government stepping in to kickstart it is what's special and unique. And that you would be waiting around in these neighborhoods, I think, if you were putting that burden on the owners to raise their hand and say yes. They needed this jump start that the town has done. I call it really a moonshot in a way. It's an incredible public works effort at a really breakneck pace. To put this much sewer in the ground as fast as we're doing it. It's a moonshot approach, and the mayor deserves the credit for that. Like Denise alluded to at the beginning, he brought this into that political arena and said, this is a priority here. Just like other municipal projects are a priority, this should be a big one. And so that's really special. I think that's a real good national example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Pete. I'm glad you mentioned the pace that you guys are doing this at, because that's one of the really extraordinary elements of this partnership. So now I want to go back to what I mentioned earlier. And any of you three, please feel free to jump in with this question, or it'd be great to hear from all three of you. But I imagine there's people on the line or people who will listen to this later who are interested in a municipal partnership, but perhaps on a different topic. And so could you talk about what advice do you have for those people in terms of how best to partner with their local foundations or their local mayor or their local government entities?
Denise, I'll let you talk first.
Well, I think for me anyway, those of us in the philanthropic arena always have our ear to the pavement about what needs are out there that perhaps we can play a role in addressing. And we are often reactive, if you will. We respond to grant requests. We respond to questions from citizens about how to accomplish this, that, or the other. But this one was a long-standing issue, and having my ear to the pavement when we're looking for an impactful project and understanding that we now had an opportunity with town council to move ahead with this was a wonderful and amazing thing. I think we all need to keep our ears to the pavement when it comes to what role can philanthropy play as it works with governmental issues, understanding that we aren't government, understanding that everything that we do has to be charitable in its operation, and what is the role for philanthropy as it looks at the way that government serves the citizenry. And I think there are many, many, many examples in many communities of how that has been done and needs to be done. And right now, for example, I know that we're all dealing with infrastructure issues that impact, as was said, impact people and impact people in serious ways. And I think that it's incumbent upon us in the philanthropic sector to look for those opportunities where we might play a part.
Well said. Mayor Bennett or Pete, anything to add or other thoughts on the question?
I think that it's probably like any other partnership in a way, Matt. you know, you identify the problem, you understand what you can do about the problem and what you can't do about the problem, and for those areas that you don't have the expertise or otherwise the capability of resolving the problem in its totality, you look for those who can bring that expertise to the table. And I think that's exactly what we've done with this tri-party partnership. Our town staff is very busy on any number of initiatives right now. Pete and his crew are the group that have the expertise with respect to the design and installation of these improvements. He described earlier that he had this is a very quick period of time to install an inordinate amount of improvements. 5-year time frame to hit these 60 different streets with sanitary sewer infrastructure. That is extraordinary effort.
I think someone's phone might be ringing again. Please put yourself on mute if you're not talking. Sorry, Mayor.
So that's what he's bringing to the table. We could not have done that as the town. We could not have politically come up with the solution, the capital to provide the funding for the households that otherwise couldn't afford to make that connection cost. The town tries very hard to be good communicators, and we are getting better at communication, but we're not in the PR and the marketing. So increasing the awareness amongst the broader community is not really something that we could have done as well as it needed to be done. And that's where the Community Foundation comes in. There is another group out there that, while I wouldn't call them a party to the agreement, they have been very instrumental. And that is a group of Native Islanders who have worked hand-in-hand with Pete and his team to secure the easements that are necessary for this effort. At one point in time, I think we needed 71 easements for the sewer infrastructure for the first year or two's improvements. And these individuals went out into the community and secured all of those easements at no charge within a 4-month time frame. That in and of itself is just another example of excellence that this properly organized partnership has allowed to come forth and for all of us to realize and reap the benefits of. So there's just a lot of really great things going on in conjunction with this overall initiative.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Pete?
Matt?
Yes?
This is Denise. I might say one other thing. We talked about the potential of other issues besides sewer septic that may be of real value related to public philanthropic partnerships. But I think that there's a lot of work that can be done in the sewer septic arena, particularly along the coast, particularly in Hurricane Alley, if you will, because septic systems pop out of the ground in a hurricane under saturated water conditions. Their sewage becomes a real issue in times of major storms. And while there can be breakage, certainly in sewer lines and the like, the safest way to deal with this kind of effluence in this part of the world where hurricanes are more frequent is to get people on sewers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and a timely point given recent disasters in the past couple of years. Pete, do you have any other comments before I turn the questions over to the participants on the line?
No, I mean I would echo what Denise said, and just to anyone on the call to Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be kind of selfish. I would encourage you to look at your community water and sewer infrastructure. And if you're a foundation, you know, maybe reach out to your utility or your municipal government. And are there projects that they would like to do, but they're stuck? You know, the utility is stuck because it's in that situation where it doesn't want to have to raise everyone's rates to perform expensive projects for a subset of its customers. And that's where this kind of partnership is so effective. So I would really encourage that. Water and sewer infrastructure in the United States is a big deal. It's sagging. It's sagging in many communities. And it's basic life, you know, basic foundation of quality of life, but also of your economic development. So it's twofold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that message. So now let's shift to the folks on the phone who might have questions. So if you have a question, unmute yourself, and please introduce yourself, and you can let us know if it's for all three panelists or if you're specifically looking to ask a question to Denise, Pete, or Mayor Bennett.
Hey, Matt. And panelists, thank you guys for doing this. This is Peter Gordon from the Council on Foundations. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about the great project that you guys had. I did have a question. I know that Hilton Head is a smaller community than some of the partnerships that people might be thinking about, and I was wondering if you guys had any advice on how they... foundations could reach out to governments that might be slightly bigger than your community and being effective in going about creating that partnership. And that's for anybody who wants to take that.
If you're talking about like water and sewer infrastructure, maybe one place to start, you know, it might even be at your state levels and see if your state, your state health department, your state environmental department that regulates utilities, are they dealing with or aware of any, you know, what they might call consent order situations where utilities got a real issue going on and it's a real funding nightmare and it's something that they're trying to overcome in order to extend service or to rehab service maybe in a neighborhood or something like that. There might be some state level ways to get in and see what are there problem areas going on that the state's trying to help a particular town with or something like that.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Hey, Matt. This is Stephanie Powers, also at the Council on Foundations, and I think I have the question that I have for the mayor, I think, and Pete both probably, but is, you know, what is it about the participation of the foundation or the partnership of the community foundation and their team? Did you find sort of most enlightening? What had you not expected, and maybe conversely, have your expectations been met in terms of the kind of role that they can play with this kind of joint initiative?
Well, I'll take that question in reverse order. Yes, my expectations have been met. I think that sentiment is felt across our entire town council. In my view, working closely with Denise and with Pete and on the project at large, my expectations have actually been exceeded by the Community Foundation. I really had no idea, you know, what level of funding could be raised for a project such as this in a community, in essence, as small as ours. A $3 million goal seemed aggressive, but nevertheless necessary, and the fact that they have raised roughly two-thirds of those funds in less than half halfway into the effort certainly speaks to their abilities. Their ability to increase awareness in the community, I think that number one speaks to their ability to effectively promote the project, but perhaps that success is more based on the level of trust and respect that the Community Foundation carries within the community itself. And I think that being new to the position back in 2015, I knew of the Community Foundation of the Low Country, had heard nothing but positive sentiment about it, but seeing is believing. And, you know, it has become abundantly clear to me that the level of trust that they have built in our community over the period of time that they have been operating speaks volumes to who they are, speaks volumes to their mission and their results in our community. And I think that, if anything, I may have underestimated the value of that in the partnership, but I'm glad that I'm glad to have been enlightened.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the foundation's involvement in a public works effort like this, you know, it is so invaluable on multiple fronts. The utilities, you know, let's face it, public utilities, that's not a thing that people look sympathetically upon or empathetically upon. The same with civic government. Local government isn't looked upon that way. But something like the foundation and the work that it does and the things that it affiliates itself with, those things are looked upon with empathy, with sympathy, with this sense of caring. And when the foundation involved itself in this program in the way it did, when it said, we're setting a goal, and I mean, our particular community foundation here, Denise's board is comprised of some of the heaviest hitters that you'll find. Her board member that helped lead this effort, he comes from an international business background with a major corporation. They made a whole new day out of this effort because they were able to say, quit looking at it as just a utility project or just a town government thing. This is about your neighbors and about all of us having the kind of community we really want. And when with the folks of the foundation saying that, it really hits home. And that's a really powerful ally to bring into something like a public utilities work where we would normally maybe be viewed sort of like, oh boy, here's the monopoly doing whatever it wants and it's faceless or this or that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a great point that both Mayor Bennett and Pete mentioned about the power of shaping the conversation and advocating for an issue that foundations can play. I can speak personally from my work at HUD, where HUD isn't always the best messenger of what we do, and so we've really seen the value in exactly what you guys are talking about and a way that foundations can help us tell our story and shape the narrative. Are there any other questions from folks on the line that they'd like to ask our panelists?
Yes, this is Katrina Durbach from HUD. I have a question that might, building actually off of what Stephanie was asking off of some of these unexpected ways that you were able to work with each other, I guess everyone can answer the question if you want to or you can pass. Now that you've worked together for the past two and a half years on this initiative, is there anything that you would do differently if you were restarting this partnership? Obviously, some of the assumptions about what the other groups can bring to the table is really apparent and good for all of us to keep in mind, but it could be a very technical answer or sort of a big picture idea.
I guess we all wish we'd have started it, you know, sooner.
Katrina,
well, and
go ahead, Denise. I'm sorry.
From the Community Foundation's perspective, as I said, this we have had other partnerships with the town before and ongoing in some other areas. We work with the town in a public arts opportunity where we have an exhibition and we bring in a large scale public art and choose one for purchase that we donate to the town, and the town supports us in that effort. There are other ways in which we partner with the government, but this is the first time that we've undertaken a fund drive of this magnitude, and I think we underestimated the difficulty that we might have with this sum. But I don't think I would do anything differently given the circumstances that we had, except as was said before, it would have been nice if these folks would have had sewer years ago. But the friendships both that we've built in the Native Island community, with town officials and staff, with the Public Service District and its leadership, its commissioners, are invaluable and open the doors to other potential partnerships in the future, and certainly lasting friendships and means of communication that I think are really important. So all of that was well above and beyond my own expectations, and for that I'm grateful.
Excellent. We probably have time for one, maybe two more questions if other folks on the phone would like to ask anything.
Hey, Matt, this is Stephanie Powers again. If nobody else is going to ask a question. I think it's kind of interesting when I think it was Pete was saying something about, you know, sewer projects. Sewer projects are not like one of those things that foundations kind of glom themselves around either. And so some of these civic or these kinds of, you know, really basic infrastructure projects and needs in communities are ones, especially when there's kind of like the bricks and mortar part of this, are things that foundations don't sort of tend to lend themselves to. So it's not only, you know, will maybe citizens kind of go ho-hum and eyes glaze over when you talk about some of that kind of infrastructure and sewer projects and water. Nobody pays quite attention until all of a sudden the water is poison. When there's massive backup of sewers and lots of neighborhoods are affected, you know, things like that. So I think it's, I think our partners on the public side also need to know that those of us who are on the philanthropy side frequently are trying to raise awareness, too, in our sector, in our community, sometimes about some of these, well, sort of, you know, quotes, less than sexy kinds of projects that foundations don't, you know, tend to lean into. I don't know. Denise, do you think that's kind of a fair assessment generally?
Yeah, I think that... obviously, this, as you say, is not a sexy project. But unless people who need sewer have sewer, nothing's sexy. I mean, at some point, it becomes, as you say, a crisis. When the board of the Community Foundation defined what it wanted to do in taking on a major initiative, it wanted to do something that nobody else was doing. We didn't want to be in competition with anybody else who was doing good project work, good programmatic work in the philanthropic sector, in the nonprofit sector. We didn't want to be in competition with anyone. And we wanted to do something that was of major impact to as much of the community, our entire community, as we could. And so when we look at the interesting mix that our community involves, when you have a heavy preponderance of retirees, a high average age of folks, people coming from wonderful careers in other places to retire in a beautiful golfing resort beach community, tennis community. That's one population, but we also have our Gullah citizens who have long been here and done the fishing and done the farming and the amazing art and culture that they have. We have a Hispanic population that has arrived and has been, along with Gullah, a major part of the service sector that works to keep our economy rolling along. And so how can we best engage all of us in a concern? And so this may not be sexy, but it's certainly a need, and it met a couple of criteria, one being that it be something that nobody else was doing, and another being that it had an end game. We're an island, and at some point, the sewer system will be built out, and we will have gotten rid of septic tanks on the island, and we will have ordinances that deal with those things that we can't have now because we don't have sewer every place it needs to be. So you can't require sewer if it isn't there. So all of those pieces, being able to have a long-term impact, an impact on things that other people aren't clamoring to do, I see no reason why that couldn't and shouldn't be the work of the philanthropic sector and can capture people's imagination as we look at the human needs piece of this.
And also, just to put a PS on that, then, this ultimately enhances the quality of life for everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that certainly includes the environmental piece of this.
Right, especially so.
Because the environment here is a major part of our economy, our public health, all of it.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that concludes our first peer engagement for the Excellence in Public Philanthropic Partnerships Exchange. I want to extend a big thank you to our three panelists for their time and insights, as well as a thank you to all of you who are able to join us today on the call. Just as an FYI, we will be posting a copy of this conversation in the resource library of the Exchange website, so I'll be sure to send out an email notifying all Exchange members when that gets posted. And also, I would love to hear from you if there are ideas for future peer engagement calls, so please feel free to email me. My email is available on the Community of Practice, and I'll give it to you here. It's Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, dot L, dot Hennessy, H-E-N-N-E-S-S-Y, .gov. It'd be great to hear from you all of what kind of content. So thanks again for joining, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.